What is happening, Dolphins fans, and welcome to another episode of the Fins Tailgate with your host, El Capitan. Tonight on the tailgate party that never seems to stop, we're going to get into it. We're going to catch up on some stuff, right? We're going to talk about a little bit of camp battles. We're also going to talk about, what's title of this video here is Tyreek Hill's extension. We'll touch also on the guy the Dolphins signed recently, the ex-Arizona Cardinal center/guard. We'll do a little deep dive on him a little bit and what we can hope to expect. Also, like, what is it single? You know, we did the offensive line camp battle breakdown the other day, a couple days ago, and you guys go back and check that out, released on the podcast, released everywhere. And we talked about a lot of the battles at center and guard, and now we have something to consider with this new guy, Sean Harlow, that comes via free agency that Dolphins picked up here. And, we're going to get into a little bit of that, but we're also going to get into something that, I just got to do it, right? I got to let you guys know, for you guys who've been here on the YouTube channel, and shout out to all the new listeners on the podcast through Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everything like that. And make sure you guys are coming over here to YouTube and subscribing over here at the Fins Tailgate on YouTube. And if you guys are wondering where to go, go to tftgnetwork.com. You can find the podcasts. You can find the YouTube channel. You can find all the links, the merch, the everything. So tftgnetwork.com. But for you guys that have been here and been loyal listeners in all the off season, dating all the way back to sometime in February, I've been telling you guys all this stuff is coming. And me and the boys here at TFTG Network have been letting you guys know what we're hearing, what's been reported to us by some, let's call for what it is, people I've grown to trust over the years, and even more so as of late, doing this on YouTube, doing it in the podcast world of, for lack of a better term, whether it's astute deduction of logic and reasoning to come with whatever takes, or it has a little bit more of a in-the-know type of take, I'll let you guys be the judge of where we get a lot of this information. But the people I've come to trust have given me sound information that I've reported on for the past almost 3 years now. And again, proving us right over and over again. We're going to touch into all that stuff and all that nonsense, honestly, man. There's just so much I'm going to go through. I got the receipts. I've got them. We've got YouTube shows. I've got half of the receipts, not even half of the receipts of everything we've been talking about on this program when it comes to Tua's extension, Tyreek Hill's extension, Jalen Waddle on the trade block, or what all that stuff. We've entertained everything else, right? But not only have we been correct, but we've been on the money with all this stuff. So if you guys are listening on the podcast, come over to YouTube. If you guys are watching on Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, wherever you guys are, X, whatever you want to call it, come on over here to YouTube, subscribe, hit the like button, and we're going to get right into it.
Turner Yell makes the stop in the secondary for Denver. First and 10, the fake, good, block in there, and down it goes, caught at the 30. This is the dynamic Hill. He's in for six. Tyreek Hill, touchdown.
To your hands a plan, your own hands can land your own brand, and damn, I feel like no one takes accountability. They want the credibility, convincingly unwilling to put in the hours it takes to get some power. Don't be f***ing sour, take a cold shower, scream until you're louder, work until you're prouder, and f*** all the doubters, they're just your downers. I swear to God they all let me down. I always fought just to wear the crown. I'm
off, Yes. Welcome again to another episode of the Finns Tailgate with your host, El Capitan. I've got color commentary coming up here momentarily to be the co-host here to co-sign a lot of what I'm going to tell you. And you know what? Every now and again, I got to remind everybody out here on these streets that, yeah, we get a little silly. It's a little bit of nonsense over here on the Finns Tailgate YouTube channel, but it's not devoid of rock solid information and not, it doesn't, all this nonsense that goes along with this channel is, doesn't mean we ain't about the biz, that we're not doing work. We're not reaching out and talking to trusted people or disseminating information coming from all over. Cause there's a lot of us here at TFTGnetwork.com. There's a lot of us that are, you know, working every angle, from people that are within the building to people who know people, who people who know people who know people, and so on and so forth. And when we get some information and I start getting a little bit more heavy details, I then run it through checks. We quietly have all of us reach out and try to figure some stuff out and see if what we're hearing is true. And that's how we then make, you know, what we report on. And I've got the receipts. I've got it all. And I got to say, you know, I'm gonna take my victory lap. I don't care. I've taken victory laps over around here before. Took victory laps back when Tyreek Hill got traded here. Took victory laps all over this on things that have happened because we have been correct. And, you know, there's been a lot of people who said one thing, felt another, wavered their decisions on how they felt things were going. But us here, we've entertained all scenarios. But when push comes to shove and you ask, well, what do I think is going to happen? We've been standing to the same things we've been saying around here for the past 6 months. Well, not all of them, because we weren't certain on everything 6 months. But from the months of February to May, everything we've talked about, reported on, said was going to happen, and damn near to the T of what it's going to look like when it does happen, has now unfolded. And I will be here to tell you guys and all the people who were doubters, we're talking about people on YouTube, people on X, people, whether they're in the, whether they're in the local media, whether it's beat writers, whether it's radio personalities and YouTube radio personalities and so on and so forth. All of the doubters that had something else to say about Tua Tagovailoa, about Tyreek Hill, about Jaylen Waddle, and everyone who got all in their panties in a bunch this entire offseason, listening to the doubters, listening to the ones, well, I don't know, I think they're going to trade Tyreek Hill. I don't know. You know, this is Tyreek Hill's last year. I don't know. Tua's going to ride out his fifth-year option. I don't know. You could have come by here and we would have told you what the dealio was months ago. And we've talked. And every time more information comes out, yes, we've entertained a lot of stuff. But we stood 10 toes down on exactly what we believed would be the outcome. And here we are. All of the beliefs are now the reality. First things first, we're going to shout out everybody in the live chat here on YouTube. Marino's Goat, what's happening, my guy? Ryan AP, member of the Finns Tailgate channel. Salute, Ryan AP. Raul in chat, salute. Luis, what's happening, Luis? Raphael, what's going on, Raf? Resident Bills creator and friend of the program, Red, White, and Bills. I'm doing well, Sean. EM Dolphin, sliding and creeping in chat. I see you. We've also got Michael K., member of the loyal member of the Finns Tailgate. Shout out to you. Jimmy, what's happening, Jimmy? Roslyn, what's good? Duke, salute. And let's get on to it. So I'm going to bring Color up here because, Color, we were talking backstage just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
how's everybody tonight?
Seems everybody in chat is doing well.
Right.
I've been trying to, you know, let things unfold. Because as certain as I can be with information I've been made privy to, until it's locked, stock, and barrel and sealed, we don't know for certain on anything, right? I mean, I'll give you two for instances. Number one, I was certain that the dollar amount that the Dolphins gave in a contract to Andrew Van Ginkle this offseason was the exact amount he ultimately took by Minnesota. And look no further than what he and his wife said about why they chose Minnesota. And they worded it in such a way on Twitter at the time, X, that they chose Minnesota over Miami because of family. Their whole family lives up in that area. So they're closer to family. They got young kids. And it's crazy because when I talked about I expect the Dolphins to re-sign Andrew Van Ginkle, and I tweeted about it too. I gave the exact dollar amount I was hearing, and it was literally dollar for dollar what he ended up signing for in Minnesota. So my guess is that he had the Miami Dolphin deal presented to Minnesota, who was also fielding offers from him, and they matched it, and that's how it was done. That's number one. I take that loss because I was certain he was going to take it with Miami. I didn't think Minnesota was going to offer him that amount to make it, but it did work out. And then the other loss I will take is it's kind of the same situation, right? I was all but certain that Jordan Poyer was going to sign with the Miami Dolphins last year for ultimately the exact same amount he took with the Bills last year. Now, whether it was the guy I was talking to about it and he was certain of the amount that he was getting offered and whether or not he was 100% on whether that offer was from Miami or the Bills, whatever, right? But again, I put myself out there in a certainty to think that that was happening with Poyer last year. I just was a year too early, buddy. That's all it was, right? A year too early because the Jordan Poyer's on the Dolphins now, and ultimately the money he made last year and the money he's making this year coupled together was the totality of the deal I said he was going to get with the Dolphins in the beginning. So I don't know. I don't know what happened with that situation last year. Maybe he really wanted to stay with Buffalo and thought he could win a championship with them last year, and that's why he did that and waited a year for Miami. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. Again, I'll take the loss. But everything else we've talked about, especially in the last 6 months here, Color, has been rock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll take the loss on something.
Oh, really? Go ahead, Color.
Yeah. You know, when I told everybody that the Dolphins likely did not want to pay Tua much more, if any, than Jared Goff, and that they were trying to, you know, keep it, you know, as their highest offer. And I even used evidence. I even showed you everybody's favorite NFL Network reporter, Jeff, or whoever he works with, Jeff Darlington, saying the same thing. Miami's ultimate dollar amount would be Jared Goff money. So I then said, hey, if there's a deal going to get done, it's likely that what's the holdup is that Tua, for bravado's sake, to show face to the fans out of respect to him, all of that, was likely wanting $1 more than Goff just for the sake of it, right? And I was wrong about that. Mm-hmm. He turned out to want $100,000 more than Goff, not a dollar.
Well, that's in annually in guarantees, but total amount of guarantees equals less than.
Right, of course. But what I said was that Greer was maneuvering to make it look like the fans that he got more than Goff, but in actuality, not really paying much more than that, or, you know, by paying less than that, but making it look like that. So him and the fans can turn around and see, we got more than Goff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be $0.1 million more than Goff, which I believe is actually that's $1,000, right? Not $100,000.
Well, it's funny you should say that because when you measure out the contract, Goff has more guaranteed control to than Tua. But let's not get into the minutiae.
My point was I was wrong. It was only It wasn't.
Yeah, you were so close to not being wrong that ultimately.
And again, the idea of the take was that Greer was going to use the top end to make it look like he got paid more than Goff.
Now, that's where we can contextually say to ourselves, you're projecting a little bit there. Whether you're right or wrong, that's another debate. The facts of what you said are still correct.
Well, you're right. I might be wrong about that intention, but that's how it ended up playing out.
Let's not act like that isn't a real possibility, yeah, though. You know
the,
what I'm saying?
The intention, I might be wrong about. That's the opinion. They could be have not thought of any of that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just so, turns out to be the exact number, you know?
I'm gonna go ahead, and for any of you guys that have been listening, you have heard me say these words so many times that it's probably making you upset now, is that the Dolphins have been building since the successes of 2022 followed up with the successes. Now, listen, we know we've fallen short from the goals, but in every metric other than a playoff win, the Miami Dolphins in 2022 got better in 2023. And everything that you could see during 2023, during 2022, they were trying to, the 2022 offseason heading into 2023, they were looking for these certain things and trying to find out whether or not they needed to pull the plug after this year and change it, which would be an absolute collapse, or mm-hmm. that the trajectory is correct and they were going to put themselves, and here's the words I keep saying, in the 3-year window, meaning that all these starters that they currently possess, answers that they currently possess with, you know, questions but marginal answers behind them, for if you're looking at like Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips and now Chop Robinson added to the roster, for the most part, everything was saying to me 2024, 2025, 2026, they are trying to keep this team and have this 3-year window. And I've been saying this since before I even reported on what I heard about what the Dolphins were offering, a rework slash extension for Tyreek Hill. And yep, here I have the receipts right here. Back in the 22nd of February, I said, word on the streets, Miami Dolphins have drafted a contract slash extension rework that wide receiver Tyreek Hill, keep him here for the foreseeable future and clear up some cap space. They want him back in country to sign. So that was back when he was on his Mediterranean tour, right? That being said, in episodes following that, dating shortly after that, I talked about Tyreek Hill's extension, Tyreek Tua's extensions that we're hearing, because then I soon reported on what I was hearing about Tua Tagovailoa's extension, but let's not jump forward to that. We started talking about it and giving details. And I mean, color to me,
we also said that there was no way Tyreek was going to get huge money as long as Tua got huge money.
That's right. And that there was a consideration of the two for this 3-year right. window.
That they were going to play off of each other. To make Tua would have likely had to give a team-friendly deal to get Tyreek Hill done, too.
And vice versa. Tyreek right. Hill can't go saying, yep, I want to make more than Justin Jefferson after
and
he signs.
And isn't that what Tyreek Hill told everybody?
And it's not only what he told everyone, it's what ended up happening.
Right.
It's
right.
what ended up happening.
And so I suspect that all these people, and we'll probably get to this one in a minute, but I suspect all these people that came out and were guaranteed that, or were guaranteeing us that Tyreek Hill was down the road next year, that this is his last year in Miami. All of those people, I suspect, and this is only my opinion, that they were basing that take off the fact that Tua was going to get $400 zillion.
Well, color, we talked about that in that episode, which you could see the thumbnail if you're watching on YouTube right now or anywhere that we're live broadcast, that you could see that thumbnail of when we talked about it. We also right. spoke about it again about 2 months ago into more detail, and I'll go into that in a moment. But
you get what I'm saying. The people making that take were
we called them blatantly to a sexuals on there.
Right.
They wanted to pay to a whatever he wanted.
And they were so
cost him Tyreek Hill, and they were happy to sell him up.
And they were so sure. They were so sure that it was going to happen that they were actually predicting Tyreek Hill would be affected by it. The other alternative is what Cap just said. They wanted the Dolphins organization to know that the fans were cool with sending Tyreek down the road if we had to.
Yep. And not only that, Color, to your other point, these were the same people saying Tua is going to now be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And to me, that was not what I was hearing. I was hearing his asking price, and I've tweeted that, and we'll go into that too. But before we get into the Tua stuff, this Tyreek deal, again, tweeted about way back when. Now, in the later episodes, we talked a little bit more extensively, but early on, I had what was talked to me about was what they were looking to do, and they were going to give him a little bit more in guarantees spread out over X amount of time. But he would have less security and an out after the third year, being 2026, and the Dolphins would only end up owing him somewhere in the low 60s. Meanwhile, the contract that has now been signed, and just so you guys know, I talked about it again later, that I heard that it had changed and that the Dolphins were trying to give him $65 to $68 million in guarantees over the next 3 years that the Dolphins could not get out of. And then I had thought that they were gonna try to work out two more years with no guarantees but rights over Tyreek Hill. It seems to me that that was the part Tyreek Hill didn't want in that part, because maybe he would like to go and be a free agent, or at the very minimum wants to have some form of control at the 2026 season, 2025 start of 2026 season, 2026 off season, to either get a new deal with the Dolphins or maybe potentially go back on the free agent market and get another bag. But ultimately, through these episodes, and here's the other episode right here, and here's the other one, both the episodes we're talking about, and there was other episodes that we spoke about this as well, but those were two of the big ones that went back and listened to make sure that I was reminded exactly. And I'm telling you, verbatim, in those episodes, $65 to $68 million over the next 3 years, where I thought he was going to have a fourth and a fifth year, you know, 2027, 2028, and they were going to backload that money. They decided not to do that. Spread it out, giving them like a $31 and a change million a year average guarantees over the next 3 years was all going to be in that deal. He just didn't want the fourth and fifth years. So the Dolphins are kind of, I don't want to say they're left holding the bag, but it gives them a little bit more control to want and or demand a extension or rework, you know, after the 2025 season, because be like, look, it's been going good. I only got 1 year left on my deal. Let's continue this down, because you only have me for next year and you don't want to have me go to free agency. Or maybe the Dolphins, again, lining up to what I've been preaching this offseason about, they want this window to be reconvened and data pointed and figured out if they need to keep going to 2027. They want this team through 2026, and in that offseason, either A, they double down and re-sign a lot of talent, or B, they blow this bad boy up, and that could mean without Chris Greer and without Mike McDaniel and Tua and everybody. So only players that wouldn't be gone would be like Jalen Phillips, Jalen Waddle, probably Jalen Phillips, which that Jalen Phillips contract's coming this year too, just so everybody knows. We'll have to earmark this episode on how we were so right would come later, Color, about Jalen Phillips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But I just want to point out that also back in this episode, I think it was this episode, I can't remember 100%, we also addressed the talks of Jaylen Waddle being a trading piece before the draft. That was nonsense. It was ridiculous. We were also 100% correct that to Tyreek Hill's contract, although drafted up, although ready and set to go, is not going to be finalized until after Tua Tagovailoa, and it would come no later than 2 weeks after him. We talked about that on this episode. We talked about it again on your episode we had not that long ago when we were waiting for the Tua contract to come through. We were about a day and a half too early on that Tua deal when we heard about it was a certainty. The problem with trying to be in front of it and break news on it and holding out for a 7 hour long show like you did, Color, was that we were just too early, buddy. But hey, we did everything.
Nothing out of it.
2 days later, they ended up signing it, but hey, whatever. And then not 10 days later, the Tyreek Hill stuff came down. Now, funny enough, again, right about Tyreek Hill, right about him being in the 3-year window, right about the amount of $65 to $68 million and guaranteed was going to get it done, right about, Tyreek Hill's deal coming out 2 weeks after Tua Tagovailoa's deal. Also, right about Tua Tagovailoa's deal, I tweeted this back in May when I was getting some of the asking price information that Tua and his people were looking for. They were looking for initially a 5-year extension, and it comes out to a $53 million a year average. And with the guarantees of that 5 years that I stated in there, which I think they wanted 215, it put them right around $43 million a year in guarantees, which is what Color? Didn't he get an average of $42 to $43 million dollars a year in guarantees? Isn't he getting you an annual of $53 million? The only difference that was from what I heard the asking price was to what the ultimate price ended up being was that it wasn't 5 years. It was only four. Everything and, else, and, the mass, you take away the 1 year and it all lined up. Again, right? And we went into that whole thing way back when I even reported on it back in early February about these were the deals we were looking to see if it was going to come down. Then it confirmed with what we heard. I tweeted about it. We talked again about it about 2 months ago before both these deals were done. You again, I mean, I don't know what else to say, Color. Right. Again on this show. And these are only the episodes that I could take time in the past 2 days to listen back to and find and remember. I mean, from Shake's show to when Lou's been on to all of us, we've been talking about.
I'd really
what
love
we've been
the
hearing
part about huh? the. I said I'd really love to clip the part about. We got to make sure Tua gets a dollar more than Goff, but actually gets paid less than him. I'd love to clip
sure
that part.
Again, I've only listened to the ones where.
I know there's so much.
We specifically were talking about those topics. That I could find, and there was
when we were talking about what the holdup was. Remember?
Yeah, that's another one, right? Again, there's about six other episodes that are specifically about Tyreek Hill and Tua's contracts and Waddle's, and then probably another 15 of them where we dropped nuggets that we've been hearing in between those, which is why you guys got to listen all the time. I don't know what else.
Oh, by the way, Jose's asking, "Hey, Color, how's that Greer statue coming along?" I think I've got enough copper. I just need to build up some tin so I can make the bronze, and then I'll be forming the mold for it. It's coming along nicely.
Sounds like a plan. Listen, he gets us a Super Bowl. I'll be all on that thing.
I know, so, right?
You know, I just wanted to, again, those episodes right there, along with six or seven other, if you go into the YouTube, and you go through the search engine, you type in Tua or you type in Tyreek Hill, and you look from February to the last couple weeks before the deals got done and seen every episode talking about it, you will see that everything we said that would happen, while naysayers and people are standing on business saying, this is Tyreek Hill's last year. This Tua is going to ride out his 5th-year option. And even when it looked, when it gets quiet too, it gets real quiet sometimes, and people then start getting scared, because I'm not the only person getting inside information out here on these streets. There's plenty of other people. And just like them, I'm a human. And when it gets super quiet and my people are like, I haven't heard nothing, nothing's coming my way, you start doubting, right? You start doubting a little bit. We did not allow that to sway us from our ultimate decisions.
That's the power of logic, Capitan. You don't have to give up on it, because if it's wrong, it's because something crazy happened. That's the only time logic is wrong, is if something crazy happens.
That's it. And crazy would be to a demanding $200 million guaranteed. Right. Crazy would be Tyreek Hill
expecting it.
Crazy would be Tyreek Hill saying that he wants the Dolphins to cut him this year, because Dolphins still had rights on him, right? And they could have got ugly. Tyreek Hill, when they reworked it last offseason, it was apparent he's happy here in Miami. And that's all we need to do is just pay him for his happiness. And he's where he needs to be the next 3 years, along with everybody and everything else in the Miami Dolphins organization, riding out the 2024, the 2025, and the 2026 season with this football team. We are close. Can we get there? And we're going to find out over these next 3 years if we've got it, if we need to get rid of it, or if we're just so close that we need to check 2027 and 2028 into the five-year window. Shit, we might hit it in year two and, you know, be able to
change
rework we might be in a whole different ball game.
When you're rocking a Super Bowl championship, the fans, whether we believe you should or not, the fans are going to give you a whole lot of grace for the next year. Every fan assumes that, I mean, there's only been 1, 2, 3 teams that have gone to that many Super Bowls back to back. And you know what I mean? Like without a lull in the action, without a slump the next year, what do they call it? A Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot of players
right, we're not, get the bag after that.
We win a Super Bowl and you're going to hear a lot of the contract arguments in the fan base stop, because nobody gives a shit at that point. Yeah. Like, hey, we'll get it done. We'll be back again. Don't worry. You know what I mean? There's a lot more grace from the fan base when it comes to, hey, we can't retain these five guys after winning a Super Bowl because we, you know, their contract situation. You know, we went all out. We poured it all out. We let it all hang out on the field, and we won a Super Bowl. So at that point, the fans really don't care who you lose. And obviously we have our favorites, but, you know, it's a little easier to accept, you know, some player X, Y, or Z getting traded off because we just won a Super Bowl and can't afford them. That's a lot easier to stomach than another playoff loss and we still got to get rid of everybody. You know, because it's happening whether the window is the window. It's going to be closed in however many, whatever the number of years is. So the blow up and the rebuild is coming. It comes every 4 or 5 seasons for every team, because of the nature of the salary cap. So, you know, you want to ideally become an off a Super Bowl win when it's that time of the cycle, you know?
Sometimes you don't need to get rid of your coach and quarterback, and you just kind of accept that it's going to be a rough season, but you draft a bunch of young guys. You do big time trades.
Or you start going full boat with your second year guys, you know what I mean? The ones that you're expecting to take another step, and we don't know if they will or not, you know?
It's kind of thing. It's the ebbs and flows of the game in an NFL stance where, you know, age is a factor, youth is a factor, you know, all that stuff. And the cap is you find the Dolphins. If the Miami Dolphins find themselves at any point in the 2026 season and 2026 offseason believing that this team is worthy of continuing 2027, 2028, and potentially 2029, they will break the bank to get 2 more seasons, potentially a 3rd more season with the talent they possess. And maybe a guy or here too will be interchanged, but they will break the bank, keeping veterans with extensions, signing free agents, and, you know, extending guys that are on their team, setting themselves up for a 2029 and or beyond absolute must rebuild year because of what they'll do against their cap, which is the ultimate question, right? Can the Dolphins get success between now and 2027 season? Is it Super Bowl success? Is it enough success to say, let's run it back two more years and win a Super Bowl? Or do we blow it all up and, you know, whatever? But ultimately, everybody blows it up and you have to pay the piper and you have a crappy season to follow it up by.
Yep. And I do want to take one more lap that is kind of non-football related.
Lap away, color. Lap away.
Well, it's non-football related, but it did affect us. I told you that Saturday would have been perfectly fine to practice in. That storm was not anywhere close to affecting us the way it needed to be able to cancel the stadium practice. However, I can understand they didn't want a bunch of fans sitting out in the rain. It wouldn't have been a fun experience for anybody. So I get all that, but basing it on the danger of the storm, oh no, they were completely wrong. Ain't none of them been, obviously, well, none of them are from South Florida.
Well, look, and have better no safe idea than sorry, at. Right? Better safe than sorry. And it's not like they're going to get the money for a money riding on it for right. sponsors and season ticket
vending
holders.
Sales. That's all they lost was
exactly. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Why make the problem, right?
Yeah, so, I get it. You know, I just want to say that at the actual forecast, though, they're completely, they had no idea, they're way out of their league. They should have just asked the Caterpillar, because, you know, sometimes the Caterpillar knows more than the computer does.
I guess. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, color with the
Caterpillar. Well, I mean, in this case, I'm the Caterpillar.
I guess so.
As a resident of South Florida for 47 years, I could have told you that storm wasn't going to give us nothing but a little wetness Saturday.
Everybody who's talked about the storm, I'm like, what storm? Because it ain't even bopped up on my radar, bro.
Now everybody on the West Coast needs to be careful, because the whole eastern side of the storm is dragging up the West Coast as it
color. That rides storm, by. Even if it sits on the state, ain't nothing, bro. It's not. It's not big enough to be the type of devastation that anyone thinks it could be. It's just not.
Yeah. Lightning not. And tornadoes. Right. That would be
Will the news show you some ankle deep, knee deep water and some swales somewhere to say, watch out, it flooded? Yeah, sure, they'll do that. But all of us living throughout the entire state of Florida, we're going to be just fine. Ain't no problem. But anyhow,
I mean, if the whole disturbance was sitting about 10 miles north the other day, then yeah, Miami would have got flooded out. And I could see, yeah, you don't want to have everybody driving around on a Saturday with all that, you know.
Jermaine asks in chat, he says, there's a silly rumor going around that Mike McDaniel forced Stephen Ross to pay to that is about the dumbest stuff I've ever heard, Jermaine in chat. Nobody forces Stephen right. Ross to do
well,
anything.
Well, I was going to say, the silliness of it would be that he forced him to. Now, I did hear the rumor that
he implore him
to,
sure.
that he asked him to, that he went to bat for Tua. I have heard that rumor, and that's a little more believable.
Who would think that that wasn't the case, whether people made it a rumor or not? We know that Mike McDaniel likes Tua a lot. We know he's confident in him. So,
but the specific the verbiage that, of forcing him? No,
I'll tell you what. And for all those Tua lovers that hate Chris Greer, y'all need to stop. Because if Chris Greer did not want Tua, first of all, he would have kept Flores over Tua back right. when before Mike McDaniel. That's number one. Number two, he would have just not extended him and made this ride out and pivoted to either A, extending him later, or B, looking towards the draft, which right. I don't think he was going to do. I never thought he was going to do this. Why we reported it way back when, and go listen to the episodes with the thumbnails I done showed you guys earlier in the episode. Go look at it. And while you're at it, make sure everybody is checking out tftgnetwork.com. If you're listening on the podcast, if you're watching on wherever you're watching on, check out tftgnetwork.com.
Get ready to dive into a new role of online shopping with the Finn's Tailgate. Whether you're a diehard sports fan or just looking for the latest fashion trends, we've got you covered. With a wide variety of products from your favorite sports teams to stylish accessories and home decor, we're your one-stop shop for all things tailgate. Our easy-to-use website and hassle-free checkout process make shopping with us a breeze. Plus, with frequent sales and discounts, you won't want to shop anywhere else. So come on in and join the party at the Finn's Tailgate, your new go-to destination for all things tailgate.
Check out TFTGnetwork.com. All kinds of good stuff. Great way to get from the podcast world to the YouTube world, from the YouTube world to the podcast world. All the links, clickable, search engine. If you go and click in anything into our search engine on there that you want to find, you'll find it. It is super fast, super friendly. Mobile app works. The whole nines. Holla for a dollar. I see a little bit of
conversation. One thing you won't find is Michael K's snot-laced t-shirt.
No, not yet. Gross. I see we got a Giants fan in the live chat here.
Hey, what's up?
He asks, what's going to happen in December when Tua needs his blankie? And Jose says, you mean that blanket made of Benjamin Franklin's? And as being a good sports, the New York Giants fan said, yeah, that's the one.
Benjamin, what are you talking about? That guy got $1,000 bills, man.
And he's got certificate notes worth, you know, lots. Anyhow, there's a little bit of back and forth with the Giants fan and the Dolphins fans in chat. You know, I did see something. Somebody said that the Giants are the worst team in the NFL. I mean, I would say they're close to the bottom, right? Like, let's do it real quick, Color. Let's do it really quick. The bottom five teams in the NFL heading into 2024 season.
And now, are we counting up like crypto, or are we counting down like normal people do?
We're just going to count five friggin' teams. They don't have to be in any
order. Did you watch the show last night with Crypto's top 10 quarterback? He comes out and just blurts out number one and starts at number one and goes up to 10. That's Crypto, bro. You know,
that's
Crypto.
How Crypto gets down. Just bah, 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 bah. I would say if we're going to go the five worst teams in the NFL right now, heading into the 2024 season.
Jermaine's got one of mine.
I see it. Carolina Panthers is the first team that comes to mind for me.
I mean, I don't think they're as bad off with their new quarterback as people think, but they ain't anywhere close right now.
Well, I do think they are with that quarterback. Not that great. I know that their wide receiver is going to miss a couple of weeks that they just drafted with a knee injury. It's not going to require surgery, but he's hemmed up pretty good. Here's an interesting one, because they were a bad team, but how bad will they be? The Broncos, right? Like, it's a weird team.
I mean, they held together last year and still made something out of it, dude. I mean, after what we did to them,
I guess, dude. I don't know, man.
I mean, their stats are going to be skewed just like ours towards the negative. They're going to look worse than they are because of the hurting we put on them.
I don't know, man. To me, right? Like, well, okay. Let's try to do it like this. Let's go AFC teams first, right? Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah, I mean, it's just so hard because you're heading into.
I mean, Jets, if you discount Aaron Rodgers.
That's what I was getting ready to get, Color. You went right to where I was going at. The Jets is so hard to predict because they're a terrible football team. But with Aaron Rodgers, are they good?
They could at least be above average. You know what I mean?
They could be really good if Rodgers, you know, fights back Father Time, which I don't think is going to happen. Maybe if he was in a South, you know, a Southern type.
Well, we'll approach it like Lewis. What have you done for me lately? So we'll put the Jets there at the bottom, right?
Lewis, a.k.a. the Rabid Dolphin, who's going to be on Monday nights during the season. Look out for that show, guys. We had a meeting about a lot of stuff last night. Got tons of stuff. I want to get back to the Tua stuff and how we were right, Color, but I want to kind of go through this as quickly as humanly possible. The Jets, dicey with me. Let's put them on the outside looking in. because I think the Patriots
Jets gang, man. I knew you were going to get something from Jets gang.
No way, Jets. Jets gang in chat says, no way, Jets bottom five team. I hear you, right? Like
he's like, ye of little faith.
But I mean, if Rodgers goes down again, what are you doing, right?
Like, I know, right?
Everybody and their mother's losing their job.
I don't even know. Who's your backup? You still got Boyle? I mean, who are you even rocking as backup right now?
Jets. Like, I have no idea. The Patriots. I mean, yeah. They got a new coach. They've got a new quarterback. They've got, I think it's safe to say that the Patriots are one of those bottom five teams, right?
Probably gonna overachieve, but definitely bottom five team.
Probably now, I don't know.
I just don't. I look, man, maybe it's the Belichick effect. I don't know, but I just cannot see the Patriots not at least like showing up. I mean, they are what they are, they're rebuilding, so they just don't have the talent to beat teams. But I can't see them being like, you know, not competitive, like at least believing they're competitive. You know, they have a lot of weight, a lot of you know, their reputation precedes them. You know what I mean?
I just want to point out how many people in the media, mainstream media, are talking about the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl. I've seen it literally, Jets winning the AFC East.
It's like Rex Ryan era all over again.
It's crazy to me because they are literally on the bubble of our bottom five for us over here, dog. I'm just saying. But okay, I'm going to put the Pats in there. Here's an interesting one, right?
I mean, the Bills, bro. I'd go with the Bills.
No, we can't do that. They're not going to be a bottom five team. I would say here's an interesting thing, right? I would never say the Colts. Tennessee, although caught Miami, like derailed Miami last year, Tennessee is a team that might be a bottom five team, right? What do you think? I mean, I'm putting them on the bubble list. I know.
Change in coach with that new quarterback that wasn't really a slouch per se.
But he's not like he's right. A superstar or anything with true. It. They got a new coach.
Neither was Tua before he got a new coach. You know, I mean,
I got you. But Tua at least was a first round draft pick with, you know, all kinds of college stats that are upside. You know, we could see the potential with Tua. I mean, what's his name from Tennessee? Although I see the talent. Here's another team. Probably the last team in for the AFC that we'll talk about. Because the rest of the teams, I think, you know, even the Broncos, debatable, right? But, and here's crazy. All the money on this team's defense, the Raiders, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders are... I mean, what? I don't know what they are. They've got so much talent. They got Adams. I don't know what the Raiders. I don't know what to expect. The Raiders could have 10 wins. They could have 2 wins, and neither would shock me right now. So I'm going to keep them also on the bubble because, to me, rounding out probably three spots of the bottom five are going to be NFC teams because, let's face it, the AFC is better than the NFC, and we're going to go ahead and I'm going to make this relatively easy, right? I mean, damn, dude, the entire division of one of the NFC is probably all four teams could be at the bottom. I mean, statistically, it's impossible, but the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, the New Orleans Saints, and the Tampa Bay Bucks. The NFC West literally is – that's the NFC West, right? Or is it the NFC South? That's right. It's NFC South is literally the worst division by a landslide in the NFL right now. And three, if not four, for four of those teams could be the bottom five teams joining the Jets or the Patriots.
And you can pepper in the Cardinals and the Giants and probably round out your six.
that's and the Washington Commanders, right? Cardinals, Giants, Washington Commanders, the Bears. What's Caleb Williams going to be, right? And I don't know.
I mean, the Vikings.
I don't know.
Although I guess McCarthy's having a good camp.
And not only, like, here's the thing about the Vikings, right? Are they ever really the worst team? No.
No, like, they've been bad. Like we've been for a lot of years. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They're never really the worst team. Unlike the Lions or even the Bears in recent memory have been some of the worst teams in the NFL. The Vikings, never the best team, but never the worst. So I'm not going to put them. I got to think about the Cardinals too, because they're the worst team in their own division, you know, underneath the Seahawks, underneath the Rams, underneath the Niners. That's a fact. But we've seen them go on these weird runs. Another hard team to figure out. I'm going to go ahead, and here's going to be my bottom five color. I'm going to pick the Panthers. I'm going to pick the Pats. I'm going to pick the Falcons. Even with Kirk Cousins and the rookie quarterback they signed from Washington, I say that blows up in their face and they don't have any success. I'm going to put, and to the Giants fan in chat, sorry, but the Giants to me are a dumpster fire. You have a quarterback that is making money that isn't a good enough quarterback to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And that's just how I feel. I don't think Daniel Jones is anything other than Ryan Tannehill light. Actually, I would say he's a non-alcoholic beverage, Ryan Tannehill. That's what Daniel Jones is. He ain't even a friggin' light beer. He's a non-alcoholic beer, is Daniel Jones. That's what he is.
I'd say even less than that. Like, he's one of those you know those Seagram's fruit drinks
he's a non-alcoholic Seagram's. He's a non-alcoholic spritzer.
Right, and they don't even say, they don't even claim to be non-alcoholic. They're just made out of like really good grapes, and they taste kind of sour.
See, Raph, I wouldn't say Raph that he's a Natty Light, because Natty Light you can get tore up on. I mean, that's just a fact. Bums all over the United States are getting ripped on Natty Light. A bum wouldn't take the alcoholic beverage you're handing him, known as Daniel Jones. And that's the facts, because Daniel Jones is a bigger bum than a bum. How about that?
Oh, by the way, those were Welch's sparklers is what I'm talking about. They come in like a little bottle. They look like wine, and they're not even supposed to be non-alcoholic. They're just like carbonated fruit drinks that kind of taste a little sour.
So I'm going to go Panthers, Patriots, Falcons, Giants, Commanders. Those are my five worst teams in 2024. I've written them down. I don't care.
Well, take out the best one and put the Cardinals in for me. I can't stand Kyler Murray, bro. I think he's a complete fraud, dude.
So which one would be that one color? Probably the Falcons, huh?
Yeah,
the Falcons.
Because of the veteran. They got the veteran presence now and all that.
So colors list would be Panthers, Patriots, Cardinals, Giants, Commanders. You like that?
Works good enough.
Well, there we go.
Just maybe a little switch sidebar. Out the Panthers for the Saints. But other than that, yeah, that's good.
No way. The Panthers are cooked, bro. Panthers are done. Well, listen, Giants fan, we're Dolphins fans for life, even when the Dolphins suck. So we out you. Jermaine puts his list in there. He says Panthers, Giants, Patriots, Broncos, Cardinals. I like that list. Here's the thing, though, right? Like, in a tough division in the AFC, Broncos, I mean, what are they even got going on over there? Sean Payton came over there, and it seems like it's been nothing but dysfunction. Can, now that he's gotten rid of Russell Wilson, you know, drafted, done some stuff, is it going to change? I don't know. It could either go and change, and you could look to see that they're not one of the worst teams in the NFL, or it could be solidified that they are one of the worst teams in the NFL, and they get rid of Sean Payton and they got a whole nother slew of new problems, which that could be the case. So right, him like ending up Broncos, on your list is
the Broncos still have enough excuses that yes. are valid, you know? So yeah, we kind of all know they suck, but they might not, you know what I mean? So I'd probably keep them out of the list, but I
to
don't
me, per se. When I measure like the Broncos and the Giants per se, right? The Giants have the year that they signed Daniel Jones felt kind of fluky to me. I understood it, but last year and since then, I mean, just since that time, it's just been a tailspin since then. And I don't see how they've continued to double down and triple down with what I perceive to be terrible. I mean, the Commanders haven't been good, right? The Cowboys are all right. I mean, okay, the Eagles have been pretty dominant, but you're in the NFC. You're facing the likes of the Panthers, the Bucks, the Saints, right. the Cardinals, the Falcons.
Right. You know most of saying? Our bad teams were in the NFC, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I could name 8 teams that could end up in the bottom 10 from the NFC alone. There's only two or three teams I could sit here and make a case for in the AFC. So when you're an NFC team and you're bad amongst bad in the totality of the NFC and AFC, you're in the worst part. So.
Well, that's why the 49ers, believe it or not, whether people agree or not, are actually light years ahead of the Dallas Cowboys of the world. You know what I mean? Because they're consistently getting into deep playoff runs where, look, the Rams got their bowl and then they had a slump. The Cowboys are the accident waiting to happen. But quietly, the 49ers have been right at, yeah, they've been losing them all, but they're right at that pinnacle every single year. So they really, really are light years ahead of everybody
else. Same thing can be said in for the Eagles, too, in the Cowboys division. Yeah. Eagles have remained extremely dangerous of a football team since Jalen Hurts.
And actually good, like not just, you know, the Dallas
offensively,
Cowboys.
Offensively, running,
you know,
throwing, defensively, whether it's the secondary, whether it's the D-line, against the run, against the, I mean, they've been just good football teams
right.
for what seems like since they won that Super Bowl.
And
right?
look who's been that deep the past couple seasons while Patrick Mahomes has been winning it all. It's been the Eagles, the 49ers. Yeah. You know, you had the Rams get in once, but you know, and I guess that you could say the Rams have been fairly consistent, although, you know, once everybody started getting injured, you know, it was kind of like, the window I was talking about earlier, they had to get rid of Jalen Ramsey. They had to get rid of some other guys. You know, they can't keep Odell Beckham around. Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp both get hurt. Yeah. So it's kind of like, oh, yeah, our fans will let us get away with it. We're taking off this year. I'll give them that. But that is something that the 49ers and the Chiefs have not done the past couple, like last decade. Like the Chiefs and the Chiefs and the 49ers are the two teams that are consistently right back there, no matter what their roster consists of. They might have to do it differently. Like the Chiefs, for instance, last year, you know what I mean? But they're consistently there. They're dynamic. Those two teams are like your Patriots were for 20-some years, where it's like, we're just chameleons. We're going to do whatever it takes to win as many of these 17 games as we can every year.
So real quick, coming up to the hour mark, everybody hit the like button. If you haven't, please do. If you're listening anywhere, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or live watching on YouTube, X, whatever, make sure you guys are subscribing over here on YouTube, hitting the like button, checking out tftgnetwork.com. I'm going to put a bow on a little bit about the predictions here. Again, for the first 25, 30 minutes of the episode, we took our victory lap.
Just to add one other thing to that, this is why I'm not a believer in the Cardinals. This is why I have them at the bottom of the barrel, because they got embarrassed by the Rams in their playoff game, right? Much like we get embarrassed in the playoffs, and they haven't been back since. Their quarterback has been shelved since then.
dude, I don't even know if Kyler Murray even plays football anymore, bro. Well, like, where's that guy even been?
Well, he finally got back on the field about halfway through the year last year, and they were stringing together some good wins and some tough outs. But that's all you're ever going to get from them. Has he, though?
I mean, I don't really trust him, honestly. And look, we'll get on that another thing. I want to pivot back to the other stuff. So, again, back when I tweeted about Tua's deal and what they were asking for, we went into detail in episodes that you guys go back. Here's the thumbnails for the episodes we talked about. Go back and listen to them, because we went into the details of what we were hearing about the contracts, about the deals. And there's several more we talked about. Tyreek Hill's deal, Tua Tagovailoa's deal, and what it was going to come out, what that was going to look like. And again, average of $53 million a year annually on the money, average of $42 to $43 million a year in guarantees on the money. The only thing, again, was that, and it was an asking price that I heard. It wasn't what the Dolphins were offering. That's the key. But it was obviously what they were working towards. They wanted a five-year extension, settled for the four-year, but still hit all the price points that Tua Tagovailoa's people wanted, which is why the deal got done. Adverse to what Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins wanted. Dolphins wanted more years to maneuver the money down. Tyreek Hill got less years, but still for the same amount of guarantees that I heard about, of $65 to $68 million. Those are the facts. You can go back again, watch all the episodes, watch where we made the takes, watch where we reported on them, and we've been right all along. Let's move on to these other two topics.
Javon Holland.
What about him?
Likely not going to get a new deal.
I don't think so, Culler.
And what was the thumbnail? We had a thumbnail on one of our shows. Remember? Tyreek and Javon Holland tug a roping a Louis Vuitton purse. Remember that?
Yeah, I do have it.
Another one we were right on.
So, well, we'll see, because we knew it was going to be Tyreek Hill to get the purse before, but our ultimate.
But we knew that it was going to be one or the other. The thumbnail is suggesting that it's going to be one or the other, and it looks like we were right about that fact, too, that Javon's not going to get his this year.
Oh, it was a certainty, and if you go back to that episode, and again, I remember that, Culler, it was a certainty to me, anyhow, that Hall, hold on, I'm trying to get the thumbnail for everybody, that Holland's contract was not precedent over Tyreek Hill, not even close. And again, here, plain and simple, I'm just going to tell everybody right now, depending on what Javon Holland does this year, and that means if he gets injured and he doesn't play the full season, it's more likely that he will re-sign with the Dolphins for whatever it is he can get, because there'll be less suitors out there for him on the open market. Not that there won't be suitors. It's just that the money you could stay and get in Miami versus the money that another team's potentially probably offering is super relative when it comes to tax breaks and things of that nature. It might be a short deal. Maybe it's a long deal. But that, now, if Holland goes all 17 games and now, puts together any amount of consistent success he's had over his last couple of years, he will enter free agency. He will look to get the bag, and that's where he will sign to whoever's going to pay him the most. Note it here at just over an hour on this episode of where we talked about Tyreek Hill's extensions, that Javon Holland will not be a Miami Dolphin if he rides out completely healthy in 2024 and has the same successes he's had. If he took an average of what he's done the first 3 years and he hits that average and a little bit better in his fourth year, he will get the bag from another team, and Miami will be drafting a new safety in 2024 draft. That's a fact. 2025
and that's
draft.
That's exactly what happened to Antoine Winfield, for those that make that comparison, because it is fair to compare him to Antoine Winfield. The difference is Antoine got his after his fourth year, after he put it down on paper, not before. I don't disagree that Javon Holland likely deserves a bag, but he's got to put it down on paper one more year, just like Antoine Winfield did, before he gets that bag, in my opinion.
Now, listen, Javon Holland may, and I say may, be a part of this 3-year plan. But I have to say, after Tyreek Hill, after Jalen Waddle, and to me, there's no doubt in my mind that if Jalen Phillips comes back from injury and comes back and stays healthy and continues on to where he's progressed, I already know for a fact this team, this front office, Chris Greer, and the people that work closely to him value what Jalen Phillips can do as a pass rusher over what Javon Holland can do as a safety on simple fact of what is easier to replace. That's it. That's the facts.
Oh, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that at all, man.
That's it.
Hate to be a hive mind, but
now, hey, listen. I
agree with it.
If the Dolphins get out in front of Jalen Phillips, say in the middle of the year, and we're looking at the deal, like we look at Jalen Waddle's deal, and we're like, wow, what a deal. And there's cheddar left around for a guy like Javon Holland who doesn't hit the benchmarks that we're thinking. Yeah, he could be a part of this plan. But to me, Javon Holland wants the bag. He's going to get the bag, especially if he does what he needs to do this year. And the Dolphins, a la Christian Wilkins, who has the exact same representation, I believe it is the exact same representation as Javon Holland, as Winfield, the guy that has been signing the big bags, that's what he's looking for. And the Miami Dolphins look no further than what they've gotten, the guys they've re-signed this year. Top-tier players, Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, all of which were not highest paid in any other stuff. And when you break down the details of the contract and the guaranteed monies, it is not only good deals, it is palatable for a stable future with the Dolphins.
What's funny about that is, like, I'm noticing a pattern. Like, athletes first is, like, walking around the league like Conor McGregor. You know what I mean? Like, how he walks. You know what I mean? All chest poked out.
Yeah.
Big old stride.
Everybody
and they walk up into Chris Greer's office, and he's like, hold my beer.
Yeah, they walked up. Conor McGregor walked into Chris Greer's office, not realizing that Chris Greer was John Jones and wasn't afraid of nobody and would take your life. That's what happened.
Khabib.
Chris Greer, John
Chris
Greer Jones.
Is Khabib.
Yeah, Khabib. Oh, man. I'm surprised I missed that one, Color. Good bully you.
Yeah, well, only because, you know, McGregor actually lost to him. So, I knew I was.
There's all that smack talking now, Khabib or or friggin' Connor. Where's the smack talk now?
He put him, didn't he put him to sleep?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. And not only did he put him to sleep, but it was painfully obvious Connor, like, let it happen. He was like, just end it. Like, he wanted it to end. He was tired of Khabib beating on him and manhandling him.
It's the best jiu-jitsu I've ever fought in my life.
Okay, fucking get around this prick.
He fucking made me famous. I'm supposed to be the one fucking making people famous.
So let's talk a little bit about another signing the Dolphins announced on August 3rd. They brought in a guy who, I mean, listen, this Sean Harlow, right? He's appeared in 41 NFL games, started only 8 of them. He is a veteran of the game. He's played at some guard spots. He has some center capabilities, which, you know, say what you want. He started 5 of those NFL games at left guard and 3 of which at center. So he has had snaps in both. All of those games coming in 2021 and 2022 with the Arizona Cardinals. He originally was selected in the 4th round out of by the Atlanta Falcons out of Oregon State in 2017.
So he's a West Coast guy.
Yes, we have a little bit of that. Yep, didn't even think of that, Color. They did release, Miami Dolphins did release somebody who we knew that they kept around here because of his snapping abilities, a guy that made, was a camp, a mini camp, rookie mini camp keep around in Ireland Brown. So he's not, you know, it's not like Sean Harlow's coming in here like Jack Harlow and he's owning all this shit. That's just not the facts. He is coming in to compete and has an ability to play center. And, you know, when you think about, you know, some of the, listen, I talked about this on my O-line camp battle situation, right? Which, if you guys remember, I didn't have whatchamacallit making the roster. I didn't have, what's his name, Ireland Brown making the roster. This Sean Harlow has been brought in here to compete with the likes of guys like Jack Driscoll, Liam Eichenberg, as who can be, you know, a potential starter and at left or right guard. Isaiah Wynn still on the physically unable to perform list. We also got Robert Jones. They've got Lester Cotton, who's a guy that could potentially be on the outside looking in with the addition of Harlow to the Miami Dolphins, potentially. I don't know. But with all this stuff coming out about the miscues at center exchange with the quarterback from newly signed Aaron Brewer, the Dolphins got to be feeling the pressure a little bit on potentially having another answer at center. Liam Eichenberg has played center, which to me is reason enough to keep him on the roster. But the Dolphins doing their due diligence with a guy like Harlow to bring him in to see if they can. I don't think they're going to move off of Eichenberg, especially because they moved up in the second round. But maybe his versatility at guard and center puts him over a guy like Lester Cotton, or over a guy like Robert Jones, or over a guy like what's his name? Blanking out, Jack Driscoll. So he's going to be another dude that's going to get a better fight to win a roster spot just off of NFL experience alone. What do you think, Color?
He's another Pacific Northwest guy. What is it with these Pacific Northwest guys we keep filling our team with, man? Oregon State he went to in college, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, either.
Aren't they the Beavers?
I don't know.
Oregon State Beavers, right? Let us know in chat.
They are the
Oregon's the Ducks. They are
the Beavers, yeah.
Yeah, the Oregon State Beavers. They've had a pretty good football team, you know,
they kind of got like a fresh looking logo. Like it's kind of like a mean looking beaver like the Patriots logo.
Yeah, no, it's not a nice looking beaver. It's a mean ass looking beaver.
Definitely a mean beaver.
What's the oh my God, the Woody the Woodpecker, like
definitely a beaver you don't want to go stick your extremities in, you know.
I don't want to. Never mind. What kind of extremities you sticking in beavers, Keller?
What kind of extremities do you stick in a beaver?
What kind of beavers we talking about, Keller?
It looks like he played guard for Atlanta his rookie year. Played one game. Played 15 games with Arizona in 2021 as a left guard. Played 17 games. I should say was involved in 17 games in Arizona in 2022 as a guard. And last year he was played eight games with, I'm sorry, one game with Dallas.
Yep.
Seven games with New York Giants. They just list him as an O lineman, but the one game he played with Dallas was in fact as a center.
Again,
he started eight games in his career, but he's played in 41. So he's consistently like a rotational guy, like a guy comes in, doesn't start, but always plays every game.
So when I think about guys like Lester Cotton, who to me would make this football team over other dudes, but I gotta imagine with the snap issues being an issue. Plus injuries. We know Aaron Brewer's had some injuries in his time and things of that nature. Isaiah Wynn not being fully healthy. The guy's flexibility to play left, right, left guard, right guard, and center. Versatility is an asset in the NFL. And when it comes down to cuts, there's two things that are going to make decisions on. One, how much what's your worth to this team whether it means that you're a really good this guy and you're going to be the starter, or can you do multiple things to make us want to keep you around? Mm. Or are you a guy that if I put on the practice squad, not making a 53, is someone going to snag you right away? Or are you going to sit out there and no one's going to grab you? That's the questions right. the Dolphins are going to have when talking about, you know, what guys they're going to end up keeping.
Pendis says he's just going to be a depth guy. Would expect us to check trade or cuts to address line issues. I completely agree. I don't think that this pickup of Sean Harlow means that we're still not looking at all that. There's a couple guys, one in particular, at least Baltimore thinks we're looking at, you know what I mean, over in Baltimore that's likely going to be cut. And that's Ben Cleveland. I've heard a couple other names. I don't want to say who they are, but at the same time, you know, sources and all. But
there has been some names we've been talked about, and we're waiting on some of that stuff. Here's the thing, Color, real quick, before you continue. I heard about Dolphins are going to make something happen in the interior, and a lot of people were telling me this is going to happen, that they were going to make a trade or, you know, with some of these teams, some swapping of stuff was going to happen. I heard that from a couple different places. I reached out on my end to people I know and trust. It was a little bit out of their purview, but they did tell me they weren't hearing anything about these types of trades coming, but they did know that the Dolphins were looking for help at that position. Whether or not those teams denied the trades or whatever, all I know is soon after all the buzz, they signed this Sean Harlow guy. Go ahead.
Right. So as far as Harlow goes, you know, that's a case where, the expectation and the likelihood is that he's just a guy, you know, just a camp guy or even a rotational guy, whatever. However, you know, you still have the outside shot that this guy decides, hey, the time is now in my career, and takes it to another level because of working around coaching like we got, like McDaniel, Butch Berry, you know what I mean?
Maybe
who knows, you know what I mean? There's still the who knows aspect, but likely just a, you know.
Well, that's why I've been doing these episodes of, you know, watching battles. And now that this guy Harlow's in there, he'll be someone to watch in the preseason, during camp, when the roster gets cut down to, what do they cut it down again, Color? 96, 92? I can't remember.
91?
I can't remember. I know it's in the 90s.
96, I think it is 96.
Yeah, I know it was either 96 or 92. I couldn't remember.
I mean, Harlow was drafted in 17. He didn't even see the field until 19.
Exactly. So,
you know, so the guy's fresh still. Maybe, who knows? He might have life issues he was going through. Who knows?
You know? Maybe there was, you know, concerns about physicality and weight that he's now had to put on weight and muscle to handle it. Who knows? Who cares? That's a guy that
suffice it to say, we're still looking. We're still definitely looking.
Oh, no, there's no solidified answers within the interior to me. I know Aaron Brewer is the center right now, but still, to me, until I don't hear about any more center to quarterback exchanges, I'm not comfortable. I'm not. So let's get into a little bit of stuff coming out of
Mr. Polk.
We're hearing through camp now. These are, whether it's, you know, beat reporters that are.
Uh-oh. Do I leave it in or do I pull it out? Sorry, guys. Looks like we lost El Capitan for a second there. He's probably going to segue into these beat writers and how they, you know, they can't get over the fact that their industry is dying, you know, and they want to try to chase all the clout there's left to be had. But I'll
my fault.
Cap continue. Sorry about that. Cap. Yeah, it was like the piece of glass in Stewie's head. I didn't know what to do, man. You know,
what do I do? Do I pull it out or leave it in?
Right. Exactly.
Do I pull it out or do I leave it in? I got a couple recordings being released over this next week. First are going to be corners, and then they're going to be safeties. And I'm going to talk a little bit more in depth on some of this stuff coming out of camp, but we're looking at the corner battles, for the final roster spots to make the 53 and the safety, and how it gets a little gray in those areas when we're talking about those positions in the DB room. But stuff coming out about some of these guys, and you can go back to, you know, the wide receiver stuff. But some of the things coming out of camp, first of all, Jordan Poyer looking great in camp. You know, he's missed three in a row, but everybody's seen, you know, from the media aspect, he's a guy that doesn't, that needs more veteran rest than we need to see as him. So that's nothing to be sweating. When we talk about the wide receiver battles and who's going to make the team or not, Dolphins recently brought in Snead here. Now, we do know that there's some stuff going on with OBJ, but we also, something that a lot of people aren't talking about, is Eric Ikuzama, who has an unspecified injury. To me, Eric Ikuzama is low man on the totem pole. If Snead comes in and takes his job, I won't really care. Eric Ikuzama, since the Dolphins got him out of Texas Tech, has not done anything at all. We saw a couple of nice catches in the preseason, but I think he personally,
you know, that was kind of abrupt. Did somebody see him get hurt? Because I'm thinking that might be we just found a trade partner injury. You know what I mean?
Maybe not. What I do know is, from what I'm hearing, is that it's a understanding of the offense to hit the timing that he's not grasping, that there's been some language problems. There's been some playbook learning problems. When he can play fast and free, it's good. And we've seen him do a couple of, you know, handoff things in the league and stuff, but for the most part, super ineffective and able to find a way onto this offense. And he's a guy that now, with an unspecified injury, it doesn't look good for him, right? We do know that still on the physically unable to perform list is guys like Odell Beckham Jr., which to me, I don't know what that could be, right? There's nothing coming out about it. Is this?
That sounds like an I don't need camp, McDaniel. I'm Odell Beckham Jr.
honestly, I wonder that too. But it's crazy because when you have guys that are also on the list, like Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, Cam Good, in the same ilks with him, I know Cam Good was injured. I know Bradley Chubb has been injured. I know Jalen Phillips has been injured, right? So is he got a real super bad injury? I don't know, but whatever, right?
No, but you know, Odell did have that, you know, his last injury was an ACL tear, right?
That's right. I know that.
And I mean, look, I think that was a tear he wasn't expecting. And I think he just doesn't, I think he might be a little, you know, hey, I'm not going to, you know, I need to make sure. Maybe there was something he was feeling that was like, I don't want to take the chance it's going to pop again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe there's some, it could easily be that he had to have his knee scoped and clean up some nonsense down there. Right. And they all know what it is. And right. He'll be ready.
He's probably got his own indicators with, you know,
yeah,
and that
was
all
worked out.
I need to do this or that, right?
While at the same time, we see the money that he ended up signing with the Dolphins for being such a fair deal. This could all be a part of why it all worked out that way, right?
Right.
Another thing, Jalen Ramsey has been killing it for the most part. Him and Tyreek have been battling back and forth. Jalen Ramsey on 11-on-11
is absolutely stacked, bro.
It looks great, and that. I can't wait to talk about the secondary in a video coming up. Make sure you guys keep the notification bell on to get the cornerback talk. But Jalen Ramsey coming up, laying a hit on Alec Ingold to beat him to limit Devon Achane to a no-gain run on Saturday. Another name, you know, since Shaq Barrett abruptly retires, Dolphins pivot. Brought in, you know, looked at some guys, but ultimately Emmanuel Ogba comes back to the Miami Dolphins, and you know he's stopping Raheem Mostert for no gain. He's you know, causing missteps. He's batting balls. He's looking like Emmanuel Ogba at old, and that is something that, you know, good for him, right? I've always liked Emmanuel Ogba. I felt like the Dolphins paid him a little early and definitely too much. And then with the change of defenses and back-to-back-to-back years, he got pushed down the depth chart and was lost in the shuffle. If he can come back in a more stacked defensive end role, less of a pass rusher role with the Anthony Weaver defense, he seems more like a scheme fit for a Ravens-style defensive front than he did with a pass-rushing-style defensive front like we've been trying to run these past couple of years. Now, maybe it could be better or not. On Saturday, Dolphins held out newly signed inside linebackers Jordy Brooks and Anthony Walker, as well as having David Long Jr. held out. So a lot of these other linebackers who are going to be competing to land on this roster, these inside linebackers are fighting. And Zeke Vanderbeu, inside linebacker, he's making a name for himself out here. I feel like right now Zeke is over Channing Tindall, ex-third round draft pick by the Miami Dolphins, in camp as we currently sit. So when the preseason games come, and the Dolphins play their first preseason game on, I think it's next weekend, right? Yeah, it's literally this Friday. Time next Sunday, the Dolphins, or is it Friday? It's the 8th. Yeah. It's only 4 days away. Yep. So on Friday, when the Dolphins play their preseason game, which, you know, we're going to cover that up and down, guys like Zeke and Channing Tindall in the linebacker spots, I'm going to be watching, because they're only going to keep, you know, one of these dudes as the backup guy. Another guy who's been, I mean, just killing it. Ethan Bonner in the cornerback room. Everybody and their mother has talking about how Jalen Ramsey singing his praises, saying this guy is killing it. Tyreek Hill saying he is going to be a problem. You're going to hear me talking about this on the that episode coming up. But yeah, man, something to look out for. Braxton Berrios looking good in practice. As you guys know, maybe he's a guy that, you know, will get a little bit more of action in the targets. I thought he was going to get more. I thought Braxton Berrios would have got more targets last year, just benefiting from all the coverage looks that everyone was going to give Waddle and Hill. That did not happen. I think he only got like 37 targets or something like that throughout the whole season. So we'll see how that works out. But Braxton Berrios doing some stuff. Kendall Lamb showing up, you know, opening up holes for Raheem Mostert out there. Chop Robinson, we're hearing that he's setting the edge well. We're hearing that his speed is that first step, and that speed is everything we thought it was going to be. But I'm not hearing about him wowing in the 11-on-11s. I am hearing about how Grayson Murphy and Mo Kamara are guys that are coming up in the running game, blowing up against the ones. Also, Deshaun Hand, another guy, you know, we had last year killing it as well. You know, just a lot of stuff going on. Chasen Hines, a guy I talked about in the O-line stuff. He had a nice block that opened up a big run for inside run for Chris Brooks. UDFA safety Jordan Colbert, who we brought in here. I'm going to talk about him again. And the safety's coming up. He's a guy who's way on the bubble. I think he's the guy out of Rhode Island. Played for Rhode Island. He had a nice breakup. You know, just some stuff. Obviously, Calais Campbell came in here, and he's doing exactly what we expected Calais Campbell to do. Zach Sealer looks like he is poised to get another contract. To me, right here, guys, a couple things. Zach Sealer will get a new extension before the end of this season. Book it. the Dolphins will extend Zach Seiler to a couple more years to stay around here to make sure he's in that 3-year window. I don't know if it's going to be whether at some point before this season ends, the 2024 season, Zach Seiler will have be secured through the 2026 season with the Miami Dolphins. That's the facts. Along with what was the other thing we said earlier that was a fact that's going to happen, Color? I can't remember what it was.
We said a lot of things that are fact.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with being right all the time, Color. I got to remember everything. It's why we do episodes like this.
Shout out Pindus. I'm not familiar with Pindus, but they've been keeping the chat pretty lively and engaging.
Oh, yeah. Welcome I've seen the Pindus before. Yeah, salute, homie. Hit the like button, everybody. You know, just a lot of other stuff coming in. Jonnu Smith getting some work with Tua Tagovailoa. Braylon Sanders getting some catches from friggin' Tua as well in 11-on-11s. Nice little catch for an 8-yard gain by Achan on Saturday. He did have a drop on a perfect pass that, you know, he can't have. Also, Malik Washington having a nice catch from Tua Tagovailoa for a nice 20-yard gain. You know, stuff's happening, right? These guys are running around. We're getting it. Achan's getting a lot of looks with Raheem Mostert receiving plenty of the veteran rest days, as well as Jalen Wright, who, I mean, Jalen Wright going to be in the plan. Dolphins look.
He's looking exactly as I thought he would, bro. He's definitely well put together at the stage he's at.
Oh no! Listen,
he could be the next guy like Achan that comes out and turns out to be a day one guy.
The way I look at it, Color, because we're gonna have Mostert through the 2025 season. To me, if we're heading into next offseason and we're playing in 2025 season, and it's Achan is number one and Jalen Wright is number two and Mostert at number three. That's because things have gone crazily good, right? Because Mostert, one of the best running backs in the NFL last year, right? Mm-hmm. So if for him to get overtaken by Achan, who was electrifying in limited snaps, right? He didn't play every game. He didn't have in some of the game, his first game, I think he only had like two snaps or something like that. So right. It's not like in the sample size, it was crazy. 800 yards rushing. It's crazy. Big games. That with Jalen Wright and then those guys getting into the flow as being professionals and Mostert now having to take a step back in 2025 to allow these young guys to take the beating, where then Mostert late in the year when the games get bigger and we're in the playoffs, mm-hmm. you have the old veteran come in to be secure with the football. Are you kidding me? This is the greatest running back room the Miami Dolphins have had in the last 25 years easily as far as depth goes. It's not even close.
Yep. So, and even if he doesn't, even if Mostert is, you know, the clear number one, Jalen Wright, I believe when I say he's a day one guy, he is going to be an integral part of our offense from Jacksonville to start, because the guy, so far I'm really anxious to see what happens in our preseason game when we start going with live bullets and full speed, because I have
Charmaine Taylor makes a great point. Mostert is our premier back, Achan our starter. Most teams never realize they have both. What a great point by you.
Yep, and I'm saying that already. Jalen Wright is looking the part too. And again, I'm really anxious to see what happens when he hits that first contact at the line in live action, because I have a feeling you're going to see a guy that is constantly grabbing an extra 2 or 3 yards every time he gets hit. You know what I mean?
Not for nothing, man. Just late in the years when it gets cold and you got to run the ball and you got this big SOB just beating up on people that are all wore out, and he's still on fresh young legs. Yep. I'm about it, right?
And the thing of it is what I just said is the least you could expect out of him. The best you could expect out of him could be Marshawn Lynch.
Well, I mean, give me Marshawn
Lynch. No, I'm just saying, so, body type wise. You know what I mean?
We're gonna end the episode on this question from Kevin Lee here. He asks, El Cap, does Skyler or Mike White win the backup role? So here's the thing, right?
Oh, I'm glad we're ending on that topic.
It's something that's been brought up by media pundits and talking radio show hosts and everything like that, and other YouTubers and, you know, creators and writers and nonsense like that. But if you've been listening to this program, like you heard in the first 30 minutes of this episode, if you were been around and been listening to this program, you would have known what they're talking about today, 3 to 5 months ago, that the Dolphins aren't going to keep three quarterbacks, that there is a competition between Skyler and Mike White. And us here believe Skyler is going to take it over Mike White, especially when the playoffs come on. That's when we're going to see this battle. Right now, if you had to ask me who was over who, I'm saying Skyler's over Mike White right now, by all reports, by the snap counts given, by activeness in camp. And what's the point of keeping one over the other?
And the way he's been looking in camp compared to Mike White.
Absolutely.
I can make a case for Skyler looking better, you know.
And you know what? Not saying that Skyler's, you know, great or anything, but if both are equal to, right, say they're both equal, financially and youth alone is reason enough to go with the other guy and Skyler over Mike White. To me, the Dolphins are in no position, with paying two of the money that they are, with everything riding on this team, with all the stuff, to carry three quarterbacks on the roster. It is malpractice when we are talking about needing depth at safety position, at cornerback, when we're bringing in guard/centers over around these parts. We cannot be in a three quarterback roster. We need depth in other positions.
The other thing is, I know we've all been worried about the injury thing with Tua because of whatever, but he played a full season last year, and whether that's a possibility or not, it's become a case where it's no different than any other player. So injury concern for me with Tua is out of my mind. I don't believe we're going to even need our backup quarterback this year.
I don't either. However, but here's the thing.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make, is that if we find ourselves in that position while being on a run, let's say we're 8-2, then the likelihood of us going the rest of the way is with our QB2 is minimal anyway. We're more likely to go pick up a guy off the street like Tannehill or possibly Russell Wilson, because looks like Fields is impressing over there right now.
that's kind of the point I was going to make, right? If Tua goes down,
unless we're 5-11, you know what I mean?
If Tua goes down at any point in the season for a short amount of time, you're going to want, you know, a guy to kind of hold it down. That's when
neither one of them can do that.
And neither one of them are going to do it more than the other.
Exactly.
I believe. Number two, if Tua goes down and the season's over, I know Mike White has no potential to be anything other than Mike White.
Any more than Skyler does, exactly.
But I don't know if Skyler can be anything. Do I still want to keep him around? Does he become a tradable asset? Does he light his hair on fire and we figure a way that we've got a number two behind Tua for now and forever through the 3-year window? There's more questions needing answered with potential upside with the Skylar Thompson versus to the answers I already possess with a Mike White that I don't need.
It occurred to me the other night as we were all backstage watching the last drive of the Dallas game with the Leon Lett debacle, right? And it occurred to me that our clear number two, Dan Marino's backup, Doug Peterson. Okay, this was like 3 weeks after Dan Marino went down with an Achilles, right? Mm-hmm. And our clear number two, Doug Peterson, who was being tutored by Don Shula the whole time, turns out, who got Don Shula his
losing a little bit color.
Well, let me, I'm getting there.
No, oh, you're losing me a little bit. Connection. Yeah, you're good now. You're good now.
Okay. So, you know, our clear number two, Doug Peterson, who was being tutored by Don Shula, obviously we know that now for sure, and also got Don Shula his record-breaking win, was not the quarterback that day. Steve DeBerg was the quarterback that day.
Oh, Stevie Bergy, boy.
So, in other words, we didn't go with our number two when Marino got hurt. We went on the street because we were on a good run. We went out on the street and got a veteran quarterback. Mm-mm-mm. So what I'm saying is, if we're clearly on a run and Tua goes down, our QB2 is not going to be the guy taking us the rest of the way anyway.
Yeah, I got running backs to hold that down, hopefully. Now, if Skylar Thompson comes in and wins you a couple games and holds it down for Tua, great.
If Tua's gone, you're talking a short-term injury. I'm talking about
In no way, shape, or form does any sane Dolphins fan think Tua goes down and the season can still be okay. Right. That's just
unless
not the case.
Unless we go get a guy off the street, you know, that's better than Skylar and Mike. It's better than Skylar and Mike.
Yeah, I got you, right? But, like, who could come in off the street cold and even be a better quarterback than Skylar or Mike and play it better?
So what's that leave the issue at?
Why would you even go and get a guy then, Color, is my point.
Right. What I'm saying is, though, so ultimately what's it boil down to? That $3 million.
Pretty much, yeah.
So Skylar has the advantage now in the competition as far as that goes.
And the Dolphins are looking
to get out of that deliver. Money.
And the Dolphins are looking to see if he can deliver and allow them to cut a guy like Mike White and get their money back. So that being said, that's all we're going to talk about today.
I got to take care of the visual aid real quick. Okay, here's the thing about this Skylar issue, right? Because that's what the show has been about, us taking victory laps, right? Capitan just alluded to the fact that we've been debating this Skylar Thompson, Mike White thing all offseason. We know that the competition has been going on, right? Mm-hmm. But this is the tweet we get from Omar Kelly today on Twitter, okay? And it's funny, for those of you that can't see it, it says, are the Dolphins having a super secret QB competition?
No secret in these parts, Color.
To which I replied, super secret, we've been debating these two all offseason.
Been no secret over here on the Finn's tailgate.
And I did get a like on that reply from Marino's GOAT and MDC. So Marino's GOAT witnessed it in real time. Omar trying to like steal clout like that. Like he came up with that. Oh, super secret quarterback comp. No, bro. It ain't been a secret. It ain't been a secret for two seasons now.
Nope. It hasn't. Not around here. And not to the people who watch TFTGnetwork.com and all of us here at the YouTube channel over the Fence Tailgate. You guys have been hearing it, and you've been hearing about the Tyreek Hill stuff. You've been hearing about the Tua stuff and what was going to happen. You would have known and sat easy over the last 6 months if you were a member of this channel as a subscriber, hitting the like button. Make sure you guys do that. Join the membership. Hit subscribe, come over to YouTube from the podcast world and from wherever else you're watching, get into the live chats, become a member of the program, help support us by becoming a member, donate to the program through YouTube over here. And we will see you guys next time. Keep a lookout for episodes dropping.